in the first letter of John, chapter 1 and verse 9, though we are going to consider the whole chapter, we have the words, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We should take particular notice of the Apostle John and of his writings. And the reason that we should take special notice was that there was something in his human nature and something in Christ's human nature that bonded them specially together. Christ had no favorites. Christ taught them all equally. But as man, he had a sensitivity towards one or another that there wasn't towards the others. And John was the closest of all his disciples. There was something that gelled between the Lord in his human nature and John. Now, John being so close to the Lord twice says in this letter, God is love. And who should know it but John, who would feel the closeness, the warmth of that love, and we see it in action in his gospel. He knew from first-hand experience that what Jesus revealed about God himself was love. This was absolutely preeminent. God was love and is love. So we listen very carefully to what he says in this first chapter. He's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. I think he's talking about the beginning in the sense of where he first heard the gospel, where the church, where the disciples were first called. But he could be going right back to creation. But the Lord Jesus was the one, that which was from the beginning. That's the Lord Jesus. Whether it's the beginning of time, whether it's the beginning of the gospel message going around, that which was from the beginning, Christ, which we have heard, we've listened to him, we've heard his voice. And we've seen with our eyes. We've looked at him. We've watched him doing things. And which we have looked upon. In the Greek, the word for we have seen is not the same as the word for we have looked upon. And the word we get in English from we have looked upon is theater. So that which we have seen with our eyes is the odd moments of things that he's done from time to time. That which we have looked upon is the observations we've thought about over the total ministry of his life. And then he says our hands have handled. Yeah, we shook hands with Jesus. We embraced him. He embraced us. All sorts of things. But we have been that close that we know his humanity. We know how he shows God in human flesh, the things that God would do if the Father were in human flesh. That's what he's like in the eternal glory. And he calls the Lord Jesus the Word of life. He imparts life. That's what he does. Heals the sick, changes lives. And to all who believe in him, he gives life. And he is the Word who explains it, who preaches it, who teaches it. We have seen him. And then he has a little brackets about Christ here. He wants to talk more about him. For the life was manifested. The life of God was declared in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we've seen it. We've seen it in action. We've seen his kindness. We've seen his anticipation. We've seen that love. We've seen his care for children. We've seen his care for the very sick. We've seen him deal with many at a time and individuals. We've seen his life. We know how God acts because we see how God acts in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we bear witness. The things that we write to you now, we tell you truly what we've seen about the Lord Jesus. And we show unto you that eternal life. Believing in the Lord Jesus Christ means eternal life. It means that the life that begins here will go on forever. John was still alive on earth then, but he'd seen that eternal life. And he knew that though it was to be greatly glorified, it wouldn't be any different in one sense from the life you already knew about the Lord Jesus. We show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. He was with the Father from the beginning, and now he was revealed to us. And then John very cleverly picks up what he'd said before. Does it the other way round. He said first, that which we have heard and we have seen in verse 1. And in verse 3, he says, that which we have seen and which we have heard. Just the other way round. Declare we unto you that ye also may have fellowship with us. So if any of you, he's saying, like what you see about Christians, want to join with Christians, want to be transformed to be as Savior, beneficiaries of the Savior's goodness and share that with us. We declare these things that you may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. Knowing the Lord Jesus is the most joyful thing of all. Well, there are difficulties, there are pains in life, but overcoming them, overwhelming them all, is the joy of knowing the Lord Jesus Christ, his salvation, his resurrection, his forgiveness of sins, his life forever. We write this letter to you and all it contains so that your heart may just jump for joy, that you may be overwhelmed. So he says this which follows. This then is the message we've heard that will make you jump for joy, that will make your heart leap. This is the message that we've heard and that we pass on to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. We use the word light and darkness to differentiate between things that are good and things that are evil, to distinguish between our spirits when they believe in the Lord Jesus and when they don't. We can have no idea of how great the light of God is, that when Paul was visited on the Damascus Road at midday in the Near East, the light of God shone much brighter than that light. The light of Jesus Christ in heaven will take the place of the sun. We can't really envisage how bright that light is. Of course, it's the reason we, being sinners, can't see God. The Lord is so light. Then we mean by that also that he is most holy. We use light to speak of those things that are good and darkness to speak of those things that are evil. That whichever way you look at it, God is light and in him is no darkness at all. So being a believer means that we do those things which Jesus exemplified on behalf of God the Father, and not doing those things of which he doesn't approve in the commandments and so on. In him there is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. And now we're coming to the message that will bring joy. You wouldn't think so at first glance, because it's about sin. But of course, by the Holy Spirit, men have to be persuaded of their sinfulness before they can begin to enter in to the joy and the light of the gospel. It is a prerequisite to acknowledge sin. So John now gets to his subject. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. So we joined ourselves to Christians, but there's never been a change. We go to the church because we've always gone to the church. Or in the days when John wrote, we joined ourselves to the number because lots of people did, and it seemed a good thing to do, and to meet with them and to do the things that they do. But if then privately our thoughts and our lives are full of unclean things and wicked things and hateful things, then in fact we're lying. We're living a lie. Our fellowship isn't with him. We're still walking in the evil one and in darkness. So if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. So many hearing the words of John or reading them will understand that they're still walking in darkness. But still there's something joyful to come. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, if we do things that are good and true and pure, we have fellowship with one another. It doesn't matter where you go in the whole wide world. If they believe the Bible and we believe the Bible, we shall have fellowship one with another. On the other hand, if we put our cultures first or our language first, then we will not agree fellowship with fellowship. But if we base all we have and are on the Bible and the truth of Christ as shed forth in the Bible, we shall have fellowship with one another. How? And John now spends the remaining four verses, saying how. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Blood obviously means death. Spilling of blood is what is clearly meant here. And John makes it quite clear that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he is his Son, and that he also took human nature and had blood to shed. And this blood cleanses us from all sin. There is no sin accepted. The scripture does say that no murderer and lots of others will enter the kingdom of God. But what that means is that as long as they do not change, they won't enter the kingdom of God. When Paul speaks of some terrible things which the people at Corinth did, he says, and such were some of you, but you are changed, you are cleansed. There is no sin apart from the sin against the Holy Spirit, which cannot be cleansed. Now, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin, whether all means all sorts or all without exception in total. Jesus Christ, his Son, doesn't matter what our sin is, cleanses us from all sin. And it doesn't matter how many there were or how often we've sinned, he cleanses us from all sin. How? First of all, then, if we say we have no sin. Now, there are people who don't recognize that they're sinful. We read this morning about the rich young ruler. Nice man, good man, moral man, proved by the world, but not by Christ. He was inclined to think that he had no sin. The things he did do were just little peccadilloes. They were just little aberrations. On the whole and in general, he kept the scriptures. But that won't do. Can't have a load of people, millions of people in heaven, who on the whole are good. What's going to happen when a number in heaven choose not to be? You can't go if you're not perfect. So it is important, first of all, to acknowledge our sin. If we say that we have no sin, then actually we're deceiving ourselves. And of course, it's the position of many in the world. It may be the position of you in the world today. We may think we are all right. We may think that we're going to heaven. We may say that we have no sin, but we're actually deceived. And self-deception is very difficult to get out of. It's like a web of a spider, tangled. But John says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. We're not going to even set out upon the Christian road. We're deceived. We don't think it's necessary. And the truth is not in us. However, if we confess our sins, if we give, by the Spirit, a good look at us, ourselves, and what we say, and what we think, and what we've done, if we confess our sins, you'll forgive them. So if we want a sin forgiven, we have only to ask. And that's a good way of thinking. What have I not asked for? What sins might remain? If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. The truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, if we admit that we're sinners, if we admit the particular sins that we've done, if we are repentant of them, and with shame we think in the sight of the Lord that we've done such things, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He is faithful to forgive us our sins. He's faithful to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He is just to forgive us our sins and just to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What does it mean that the Lord is faithful to us? That the Lord died on the cross at Calvary, promising for those who believe in him forgiveness of sins and everlasting life. He never deviates from that. He is faithful. The message of the gospel will not let us down. He is faithful. And he's also just. The wonder of the salvation which is in the incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ is just here. How can the perfect, holy God, how can the perfect, holy God receive sinners without taking away from his glory and without debasing his presence, his heaven? How can a perfect and a holy God take sinners alongside him? That wouldn't be just. If he didn't forgive a particular sin of which you were guilty, but did forgive somebody else of that sin, that wouldn't be just. We all are sinners. And it's in confessing our sins that we receive this pardon. But the Saviour is faithful and he's also just. He administers perfect justice in forgiving our sins because he died on the cross. Because he paid the price of the curse that God said to Adam and to Eve. So he's just. And he's faithful to forgive us our sin. And just to forgive us our sins. And the forgiveness cleanses us. Sometimes the picture is of the washing of water. Well, we know what it's like to have a lovely wash when we've got dirty. Perhaps we've been out playing games. Perhaps we've been involved where it's a dusty road. But however, the feeling of cleansing brings a great release. But he is faithful and he's just to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Though he is the Saviour, he doesn't make exception of your particular sin or of my particular sin. He will cleanse us from all our unrighteousness and from all unrighteousness in others and of every sort. This is joyous news. This sets us free. This enables us to believe in a life beyond the grave that is happy and good, better than we have here. Of course, he's writing that our joy might be full. But he gives another caution. If we say that we have not sinned. Now, it's not the same as verse 8. Verse 8 was have and the noun. If we say that we have no sin. Verse 10 is the verb. If we say that we have not sinned. What's the difference? Verse 8 means if we say just now that we have no sin, there's nothing in our life that needs dealing with, then of course we won't come to the Lord and we're deceived. So, but it might be possible to say, we've never sinned. We haven't sinned. Not only do we not have sin now, but we've never sinned. And then we make Jesus a liar because he came for sin. He came to redeem for sin. God sent him to take away sin. If there is no sin, we make him a liar. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. So confess. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The sin matter has to be dealt with. Sins have to be put away. Christ came for this very purpose. If we say we don't have any, never have any, then there's no way we can be saved. The news is good unless we turn away from faith in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen.